Thank you, Lord God, for just hearing our prayers this morning. We lift this up to you and entrust, oh God, that you will guide, that you'll provide, and that you'll reveal, oh God, your will to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to direct your attention to your insert in the bulletin as we go through today's message. We'll be covering quite a bit of ground the first 10 minutes, so this will help you in terms of just seeing where we're going with this this message. So Phraselands Church, we are engaging in a building project. And not just one of physically building our church, which we are, but also one of spiritually building our church, spiritually renewing our church. Well, and you may ask, what does this look like? And where are we headed? I'd just like to lay out for you the plans, so to speak, this morning. You see, when architects design buildings that are to be built, they draft up a plan so that it can be clearly seen by everyone, so that everyone understands it and knows where we're going, so that people can get involved in the building of it together. And so, well, as you know, our vision for our church is to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. But how do we achieve this? How do we get there? Dear Phraselands Church, in this season of our church, we're excited that God is inviting us on a journey of learning, especially learning about two things. First, learning about the spiritual practices of church renewal, mainly in these areas, in the areas of personal renewal, the areas of relational renewal, and in the areas of spiritual renewal. And I'll talk about more about this in just a minute. Second, I believe that God is calling us as a church to practice being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods. That is, moving towards deeper community and a more radical hospitality. Moving towards greater diversity and neighborhood engagement, and as well, moving towards justice for the least. In regards to being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, we'll learn more about this through the leadership summit that's coming up this coming Saturday with all our pastors, our elders, our deacons, our team leaders from the various ministry teams throughout the various congregations. We'll be meeting together this Saturday. As well, our guest speaker, Pastor Tim Dickall, will be coming next Sunday to share a message with us entitled Welcoming the Stranger from Luke chapter 14. Missional and community small groups. Imagine for a moment what small groups could look like. I know how we are used to doing small groups at Phraselands Church. And we even asked people to sign up for small groups this morning. And we usually have all these groups and people are able to sign up as they choose. And we have people from our church distributed in these various small groups. And I had this conversation with Josh over the last couple of years. Imagine for a moment that the areas in which you live around the city, throughout the city, that you and maybe another couple of people would be able to start a small group for your neighborhood. And instead of just inviting church people to come, you're inviting those who live in your neighborhood to come and be part of your small group. You're inviting others, non-Christians, non-churchgoers, to come and be part of the small group in the neighborhood in which you live. You are learning things together, learning things about the Bible together. Questions of faith people may have, you're addressing them in these small groups. You're touching upon the issues that affect your neighborhood, you know, whatever issues they may be. You're trying to deal with them together as a small group. Imagine a small group like that. People from our church throughout all the city engaging in the issues of the neighborhood and the concerns of the people who live right next to you. Imagine such small groups. Tim will probably talk a bit more about this at the small groups luncheon and training next Sunday. Also, serving alongside and partnering with other neighborhood organizations. You know, I had a call recently from someone an organization called Meals on Wheels. And they're asking us if we could send people or have volunteers in our church go and volunteer to be drivers. To be drivers. You pick up the food or they deliver food to you, and then you deliver these food, these meals to those who are not able to leave their house, those who maybe are disabled. And some of them, they just want you to deliver the meal and say hi and goodbye. Others, they said, actually want to invite you to come in and share a meal with them. Imagine our church getting involved in that. Serving the needs of those who are not able to ever, you know, leave their home, or those who are too old to leave their home, or for whatever disability. And our church potentially has an opportunity to not only serve them the meal, drive the meal to them, but to visit some of them that desire to do so. Have a sit-down meal with them. Imagine the possibilities of what God could do in those relationships. So these are some of the things that we're going to be exploring as we talk about being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods over the next few years. See, these two aspects of our ministry plan, of our direction, are not just coming from left field. It's not as if Pastor Abe had a dream, all of a sudden one day we're going to go this direction. No, not at all. It's not just made up. It's not the latest trend or thing to do. But rather, it's in keeping with the CNMA, the Christian Mission Alliance emphasis, the CNMA mandate, the DNA of our denomination from the very beginning. That of deeper life and mission. We need to focus on both in our church. It's not either or, but both and. Both deeper life and mission. Both practicing spiritual practices of church renewal and being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods. These are the two things that we'll focus on in our church over the next few years, because it'll take time. It'll take time for this to become part of the culture and the DNA of our church as we minister in this place. Today, I'm just going to focus on the first one, the spiritual practices of church renewal. And next week, our guest speaker, Pastor Tim, will help us look into the second, being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods as we gather for our leadership summit on Saturday, as we gather for worship services on Sunday, and then afterwards for those who are small group leaders, as we gather for our small group luncheon and training. We look forward to Pastor Tim coming to us as the Lord has led him and his church through this journey many years ago. And we can definitely learn from him and his church in this way. What brings renewal to your life? What refreshes you? What restores you? What renews you in life when you're depleted? When you're tired, when you're overburdened in life, whether it be at home, at work, or even in ministry. Well, also, some of us, it could be taking a break and taking some time off, going on a vacation or a cruise holiday. You know, Deb and I just came back from taking my dad to Alaska in August, and we were able to experience God's serene and marvelous creation. You know, the pristine beauty of untouched landscapes, you know, the fresh air, unlike the smoky air we got all summer, and the glaciers, or even the restoration and renewal that comes from a week of no internet service. You know, it costs an arm and a leg, literally, to get cellular data at sea. Do you know how liberating that is? How liberating it is to not have to check your phone and your email every few seconds. But for me, the thing that really brought a sense of physical renewal to my life this summer was going fishing. A day of fishing is what the doctor ordered. A day of being out on the water, being out by the water, by the river, doing what I enjoy most. I had a chance to do this a few times this summer with some guys, and it was great. The best part was when everyone was catching fish. I dream of that picture in my dreams. And for me, it's not just catching the fish, but you know, as you see Nicholas doing here, it's playing with the fish, you know, letting it run and just playing with it, and then landing it. Gutting the fish and cleaning it. I think it was GP's first time he's ever gutted a fish, but good for him. You know, bringing the fish back home. Actually, Nicholas cleaned, I think, 14 fish that day. Bringing it back home, you know, scaling it. And you know, I do so really gently, right? I treat the fish as if, like, it's precious. And I take a paring knife and I just scale it. You know, and I'm really gentle with it. I'm not rough at all. And then patting it dry. And then I go to Deb and say, "Here, Deb, look." As if it was my baby or something. And then we eat it. Whether steaming it Chinese style or pan frying it. Oh my goodness, am I getting hungry. We all have things that bring a sense of physical renewal to our lives, don't we? To our being. And that's good. We all need this in life. But as a church, brothers and sisters, what kind of things will bring, will refresh, will restore, will renew us as a church? What are the spiritual practices of church renewal? Well, I've already touched upon it earlier, you know, that of personal renewal, relational renewal, and spiritual renewal. And so first, I want to address personal renewal, intimacy with God. Jeremiah cried out in Lamentations, "Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how is your intimacy with the Lord these days? How close do you feel to Him? Have you sensed His deep love for you recently? If you're like me, you've tasted and you've known and you've felt the closeness with God before. But deep in your soul, deep in your being, you desire more. You desire more intimacy, more of His love, a deeper and more vibrant and real relationship with the God of the universe, with your Creator. You see, God wants to have a close relationship with us as our Father. Scripture says in Matthew 5, so that you may be children, that is, sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. But without communication, you cannot have a good relationship. Without communication, you cannot have a good marriage. Now, Deb and I have been married for 31 years now, and one of the strengths of our relationship, one of the strengths of our marriage, even from before we got married, as our premarital test results showed, is our communication with one another. Being able to hear and listen to each other. Listening to one another's heart. Listening to one another's desires. Listening to one another's thoughts. You see, there's no relationship without conversation, without communication. We cannot be a child, a son and daughter of God, if we never have a conversation or communication with Him. And so how can we go deeper in our communication and conversation and prayer life with the Lord? In the new year, we'll be offering a seminar called Hearing God. This was developed by the people at Southland Church in Steinbach, Manitoba, just outside of Winnipeg. All of our staff and our elders, we've already started to take this. And we'll be offering it to you as a church starting in the new year. So I encourage you to consider this when it becomes available. It'll cover topics such as, does God still speak today? And why we need to hear God's voice. The Bible is the primary way to hear God. Other ways in which God speaks, listening for God's guidance, and also balance in listening for God's guidance. Now, some of you may be wondering, why are we into this hearing God stuff all of a sudden? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Has there been a time when a Bible verse that you seem to be reading, to be directed at a particular situation, a circumstance you're going through, or a verse seemed to have jumped out right at you? Have you ever been reading Scripture when suddenly a thought came to you that helped you understand that passage in a way that you had not understood it before? Have you ever heard a message that really seemed to be directed right at you? It was as if the preacher was speaking right to you. Have you ever felt a prompting, a nudge, an urgency to do or to not do something? Have there been other ways that God has spoken to you, whether it be through a dream, a vision, an audible, or a still small voice? And so if you've answered yes in your heart and your mind to any of those questions, then you've already heard God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, if you haven't experience any of these things I talked about just now, that's okay. Because we as a church will learn how to hear God both individually as well as together as a church. So first, personal renewal and intimacy with God. Second, relational renewal, reconciliation with others. Here we're talking about things like confession, repentance, forgiveness of others. Now, I know that this may be a very difficult area for many of us. Some of us may have been wounded in extremely difficult ways, and it's not easy to forgive others under such circumstances. I know how hard it can be as I struggle with this myself. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you." I was able to witness a wonderful thing this past week as two leaders who were not getting along very well because of the things that were done to one another, they made an appointment. They came together. They discussed the issues openly, honestly, and graciously. Now, there was definite pain involved, and it wasn't an easy or comfortable situation to be in, because I was part of that. But they handled it in a mature way, in a godly way, and they forgave each other. They forgave each other. And I give thanks to God for that. It says in James 5, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, Phrase Lands Church, as we begin the spiritual practices of church renewal, we are entering into enemy territory. That is, we're engaging in spiritual warfare, as the enemy does not want us to be renewed personally in our intimacy with God. He does not want us to be renewed relationally in our reconciling with others. And so let us remember what Paul said to us as disciples of his. He said in Ephesians 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." It's not against flesh and blood. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our battle, praise lands, is not against one another. It's not against a brother or a sister. It's not against a pastor or an elder, a leader, or against another church. It's ultimately a spiritual battle against Satan and his evil forces. And so we must be aware of this, Paul says. Because he, the enemy, will try his hardest to distract us and to divide us, especially as we desire renewal in our lives and renewal in our church. I guarantee that he will try to pit us against one another. So Paul warns us about this. And he asks us to put on the spiritual armor of God, to keep short accounts with people. So a question I have for us this morning is this. Is there an individual that the Lord brings to your mind that he wants you to reconcile with? Just take a moment to ask of the Lord. And if the Spirit of God reveals a name to you, a person to you, a face to you, just jot that down on the piece of paper in front of you. Paul says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And with it will come renewal in our lives and renewal in our church. First, personal renewal. Second, relational renewal. And third, spiritual renewal. Transformation by the Spirit. Ephesians 5, Apostle Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That is, we allow the Holy Spirit to be the dominating influence in our lives. And we allow the continual transforming work of God to take place in us. So that the presence of God in us and around us empowers us and shapes our lives. You see, Spirit-empowered living is about a radical surrender to God. It's about a radical surrender to God. And as we continue to surrender and yield the lordship of our lives to Christ, let us ask God for these things. Let us ask God for his fresh outpouring. Let us ask God for his anointing. Let us ask God for the fullness of the Spirit to be released upon us and to be released upon our church. So what does spiritual renewal and this transformation of the Spirit look like anyways? Well, first, we allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing to our lives, to bring healing to our lives. And this healing may be physical, or it may include being set free from spiritual bondages, or being delivered from generational sins of our past, things that keep us in bondage. John 8, Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, brothers and sisters in Christ. In recent weeks, We've seen the power of God at work in our church and in our people in amazing ways. People are coming to faith in Christ. I know of at least 7 people who have come to faith in Christ over the last couple months. Some of our pastors have led and had done visitations and led a couple of people to Christ. One of our pastors who served in the Cantonese congregation visited a grandmother of someone who attends our congregation here. And he, the pastor, was obedient to the voice of the Spirit as it was a very last-minute call. And so he made a provision to visit this person, this lady's grandmother. And that lady received Christ that night and passed away the following morning. I've heard of people who have only heard of Christ and the Spirit of God for the first time in our church service weeks ago, and they came to faith in Christ for the first time. I heard of a couple who have been coming to our church for many years. They've heard the preaching on this pulpit. They've heard the gospel clearly presented by the various speakers. But they were not yet ready. And then just last week or a couple weeks ago, both of them came to faith in Christ. People coming to faith in Christ. People being healed in Jesus' name. And so we want to give glory and honor to God for all that. None of us is our duty except our obedience to follow the Lord as He directs us. So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have been doing. For the physical, the spiritual, the emotional healing that's taken place in various ways in our church. First, we allow the Spirit of God to bring healing to our lives. And second, we receive spiritual gifts for ministry. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues." And then elsewhere, Paul lists many other gifts, such as serving and teaching and encouraging and giving and leading and showing mercy, apostleship, helps, wisdom, guidance, and more that Paul talks about elsewhere in Scripture. And all these, he says, are the work of one and the same Spirit, as He, and He distributes to each one just as He determines. Praise Lance. As believers in Christ, we've all been given at least one gift. And some of you, many of you, more. Do you know what it is? Do you know what your gifts are? Paul says, "And no gift is more important than another." They're all needed in the kingdom of God. They're all needed in the local church, in our church, so as to build up the body of Christ, not ourselves. So hear me well. Let us not value one gift over another. Let us not put any gift or any person on a pedestal. Let us not be envious of those who seem to have a more desirable gift. Well, I always wish I would have the gift of preaching. I wish that. And for many years, I was envious in those who could speak better, who have that gift of preaching. But I realized God has given me a different gift. And with that, I serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, each of you are precious. Each of you are valuable. Each of you are unique. And we need you in our church. Each and every one of you. We need you to use your God-given gifts, whatever they are, so that the Spirit of God can renew our church at Fraserlands and bring glory unto the Lord. On June 7th to 9th, 2019, this coming summer in June, we'll come together as a church for our first ever Fraserlands Church retreat that would include all our congregations, Cantonese, Mandarin, English, youth, and children. And so at this retreat, we'll continue to learn more about and experience spiritual practices of church renewal. So I encourage you to set that weekend aside, June 7th to 9th, 2019, so we can all journey together in this season of transformation, in this season of renewal, that God, that the Spirit of God is bringing to our church. And so, that's where we're headed. If you ask the question, where are we headed? That's where we're headed for the next few years. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up at this time. The Bible says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, the Lord says, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. We are in those last days. So let us come with open arms, with open hands. I invite you to stand where you are. Let us come with open hands, with open hearts. To receive from the Lord this morning. And so even as we sing this closing song, I invite you to come and ask of the Lord. If the Lord prompts you, instead of singing this song, to just pray to Him, go ahead, do so. Ask of the Lord. Come and ask. Come and pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Renew our church. Renew your church. We pray.